What's the nature of friendship these days? There's been much in the press in the past 2 weeks about political friendship. People who were at school together, therefore they must be friends. Do they fall out? One betrays the other. Those who are now in the limelight may have no friends who are willing to talk to the press about who they really are. A person is described as ruthless for sacking friends and hiring some who are clearly, according to the press, not her friends. What are friends? Does friendship have any place in our culture still? After all, we know that those who would use Facebook to answer that question may say that we could all have hundreds of friends. We may well state with confidence that friendship and the nature of friendship has changed quite a lot in the past generation, but I wonder whether that's true. Any glance at a well-being section of any bookshop reveals how important friendship is to human flourishing. Actual friendship with real flesh and blood friends, not the pretend friends of Facebook, are vital. It seems we need only 6 real friends to make all the difference to our well-being. Furthermore, most people cannot maintain more than 20 deep friendships, and most of us will function best with fewer than 2. These are generalizations, of course, but the importance of friendship, far from being undermined by the Facebook generation, is becoming more evident. And this is nothing new. Almost 400 years before Christ, the philosopher Aristotle based his entire ethic on friendship. And friendship as a virtue is a thread running through much classical philosophy. What then do our friendships tell us and show us about ourselves and our place in the world? And deeper, perhaps, and looking at the question through a Christian lens, what do friendships tell us and show us about our relationship with God? The gospel reading is an excerpt of a conversation between friends, good friends, Mary, Martha, and Jesus. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived in a place called Bethany, about 2 miles or so from Jerusalem. And Jesus knew that town well. A couple of the stories of Jesus' life are set in that place. For example, it was in Bethany that Jesus was anointed with expensive ointment at the home of Simon the leper. At Bethany that Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem began. And other stories from the Gospels about Bethany are about these sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. The Gospels, of course, were written decades after Jesus' death as the apostles, the people who lived with Jesus, were approaching the end of their own lives. They had limited resources. How do they keep the stories alive for the future? So what we believe about what we have in the Gospels is that it must have been thought to be the most important or the most illustrative of what the writers were trying to convey. And each of the Gospels are about far more than simply what happened. And we always ask afresh in each generation the same questions. Why did it happen? What did it mean to our ancestors? What might it mean to us? What does the story say? And so with everything from Scripture, the context is vital. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived together as adults. There's wide agreement that Lazarus lived with a disability which required both his sisters' care. None of them was married. Lazarus is never referred to by his trade, as was common, Peter the fisherman, Simon the tanner, Matthew the tax collector, so on. And they didn't just know Jesus' circle of friends, but they were among his closest. He visits them just to visit. When there's stories that the gospel writers put of Jesus in other homes, he's there as a guest, or he's there to teach. But in this story, we see that Jesus knows these 3 so well that he's just a member of the family, just a friend. They know each other so well that the sisters can on other occasion be really, really cross with him. When they sent a message to Jesus that Lazarus was gravely ill, he really let them down by not traveling to see them for 2 whole days. They were really cross. And when Jesus heard that Lazarus had died, he howled didn't weep in a restrained way. He let rip with his grief at the death of his friend. It's clear that Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were very good friends. And I want to suggest, therefore, that we might learn something about the strength and importance of friendship from these stories of Mary and Martha. That's part of the purpose of having it in the gospel account. Because Jesus also said to his disciples, "I call you friends." What might friendship have meant to Jesus? We see a bit of it lived out with these three. In the Greek of St. Luke, the love of friend, the word for friend, the word for sibling type love and relationship is all the same root. Not for Jesus and his friends, the gradation of relationship that we might have. We have acquaintances, cousins, brothers and sisters, friends. For Jesus and his friends, there's no stronger relationship than that, friendship. It says it all. The bonds of friendship as strong as the bonds of the blood tie. No wonder that Mary and Martha were livid with him for waiting 2 days when Lazarus was ill. What might we learn then of God and God's love and God's call on our lives through our friendships? Perhaps through our friendships we hear something of dependability or generosity, or hospitality, of challenge and risk-taking, of high expectations, and of course of shared times of joy and of sorrow. This is what we see in the story of Mary and Martha, particularly this one this morning. Martha was irritated with Mary because she wasn't helping. And Jesus very wisely refused to intervene between two sisters. He simply observed that Martha's doing too much fussing. He's tired. He called in to see his friends and just wants to sit and talk. He didn't compare the two sisters. He just told Martha that she needed to be more aware of the needs of others. He just needed her to sit and to talk to him. She thought she was being aware of his needs as she's fussing around trying to prepare a meal and so on. And friends challenge us like that. They challenge us to think about things differently, to see things in a different way, and perhaps to be more the people we really can be. When Lazarus died, Jesus was able to take on the anger that the sisters expressed. He didn't get angry with them in turn, he comforted them. He comforted them as well as he challenged them as they challenged him. Friendship is two-way. And many of us would say that we gain far more from our friendships than we give. What do we learn of God in our friendships? How do we hear God offer the challenge that we all need for growth and change? The comfort we all require. The dependability that we can all show. The trustworthiness, the thinking ahead. Think of the best friends that you have. You may or may not live with them. When did you last say thank you to God for their friendships? It might not be in your nature to say thank you to them directly, but it might be in your nature to do something nice for them, even secretly, as a thank you. When did a friend last take the risk to really tell you the truth about something by saying the difficult thing because that was best and because they really love you? Jesus said to Martha, "You're worried and bothered about so many things, but there's only a few which are necessary. In fact, really, only one." This would have been really hard for her to bear, to hear, but it was the right thing to be said. Now, it must have been Mary and Martha who told this story to Luke or to the other disciples. It was so important an encounter for them that the story of their friendship was passed around the first group of disciples, captured in the gospel, and continues to enliven us today. They told the story not because it painted them in a good light, because it probably didn't, but because it taught them something vital about their relationship in God with each other and with Jesus, who they would come to trust as Messiah and Savior. There's really only one important thing Jesus told Martha. Listen, look, trust, speak to me. Our friends help us do all of that, to listen, to look, to trust, and to grow into the people we're meant to be. So perhaps in our prayers today, perhaps in the week to come, you'll thank God for your friends. Pray that you'll continue to be a good friend. Ask God to continue to teach you about his love through all your friendships. The friendships which are life-giving to us are those which do contain challenge as well as comfort, activity as well as quiet, give as well as take. And as we thank God for all our friends and for enabling us to be good friends to others, we remember those words that Jesus said to everyone who follows him, "I call you not servants, but friends." Amen.